Welcome, everybody, to the use case realization call for December 13th, 2021, the last meeting of the year. We have with us Henry Yu here today, who will be talking about the intent-based networking use case with CCVPN. we're in the Jakarta release now, so the use cases have gotten underway for the Jakarta release, and we'll be talking about this use case. He's worked on the previous intent-based networking, the CCVPN use case in R9, we'll give us an overview. Today's call is on the realization page, and we're moving to shifting to once a month. So starting next year, we'll have meetings once a month now, and for the realization call, and we'll be having other overview calls and talks with 5G topics and something with the Ops 5G team probably, and probably an update on CPS as well going into the new year. So without further ado, well, Henry, do you have slides you want to share? I'll stop sharing.
Sure. Okay, thanks, Ben. Let me share my screen. I think I don't have the
maybe
permission.
I need to give you permission. Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Okay, let me share again. Screen. All right, so let me okay. All right.
Yeah, so I can see my screen now, right? Yep.
Okay, so yeah, so hi everyone. Thanks for attending. This is a presentation about CCVPN use case. As Ben has mentioned, we will go through overview of CCVPN use case. I don't recall I have done that before. And then I will talk about the intent support from CCVPN. So the overview of CCVPN use case. CCVPN is a use case that started in Casablanca release in 2008. It was originally aimed for the operators to offer end-to-end flexible high-speed VPN services to enterprise customers. But since then, CCVPN has been evolving to support new features and new scenarios. So two examples are the transport slicing that's being realized in CCVPN use case, and the recent development in intent-based networking support that's also being realized in CCVPN as well. So as we can see, CCVPN, although it's a use case, but it is actually now being involved into a multiple feature use case. So with this current development in CCVPN, it now supports a base case, which is still the classic VPN service, but plus the add-on features such as transport slicing and intent-based networking capability. In order to sustain this evolution, that CCVPN adopts a architecture proposed from the ETSI ZSM. It is a architecture that has a couple of features that fit the requirement of CCVPN evolution, such as the support of a self-contained and self-deployable software entity. That is what CCVPN is currently designed for. So CCVPN can can be deployed and self-contained as a independent software. And also CCVPN defines NBIs, northbound interface that can be consumed by the consumer of CCVPN, which I will explain a little bit further in the future, in the next few slides. So that all said, CCVPN is now capable in the design to further evolve and to add more and more features so that CCVPN can be keep up to date with the latest transport technologies, right? Please stop me if you have any questions, okay? So this is about some overview of what CCVPN use case is about. Then the next slide here highlights the development history of CCVPN. And as we can see, CCVPN has gone through four phases up until now. It, as mentioned earlier, it started in Casablanca release in phase one, in which we developed the multi-domain Ethernet service that is a point-to-point Ethernet service. It then in phase two started a year later.
Oh, so wait, sorry if I can interrupt. Just a quick thing about that. So for, you know, I don't come from a transport background. I come from a RAN background, right? So maybe just a few words about, you know, the whole, a VPN I think of as a sort of virtual private network where you're creating a virtual network to allow two entities to connect to each other. So the what is exactly the multi-domain? How is that different than the you mentioned the CC is cross domain and cross how is that different cross than layer. This multi cross layer? Yeah, I'm not too familiar with what the what those two things mean, and the multi-domain as well.
Yeah, it's just a cross domain as. It's really interchangeable terms. Multi-domain is cross-domain. Okay.
Okay. So they're the same thing,
not
except
too confused. Right.
But what does that exactly mean? It means that basically you're connecting multiple. Like I think domains. You mean like industries?
Yeah, I will explain.
Oh, okay.
Right. In the next slide. Right. But that's a good question. Thanks for bringing that up for the clarification. The multi-domain or cross-domain in here, CCVPN is different than the end-to-end network slicing multi-domain term. That this multi-domain here in CCVPN is particularly referred to the management domains of transport network. So this multi-domain or cross-domain is still within the transport management scope. It's not RAN versus a core. That's
different. Interesting. I see.
Right. So it's again, it's nothing related to non-transport, okay, domains. It's still within transport, but you know, in a large network, especially multi-operator network, the network is so huge that it's partitioned into islands, like self-managed networks. So that we call a domain, right? So all right. So right. So that is what a multi-domain means in CCVPN. So connect multiple transport networks, connect them together into a one end-to-end in order to offer a end-to-end service across domains. Right, across domains. Then in phase two, we add the layer one service in addition to the layer two service in phase one. So it's non-intuitive why layer two is developed before layer one. That's because layer two was carried over the OTN service in release one, but we just did not expose the layer one northbound interface. So in phase one, although the layer one service is implemented beneath layer two, but the user cannot directly consume it because there's no interface to it. So for phase two, we added the layer one OTN service interface, and that we should remind the clarify that we add both the IETF layer one interface as well as MEF layer one interface, which is the which is added by the MDONS use case for the layer one. So this is a phase two. Then going to phase three, things become interesting. In phase three, where it take place in grading release, we added the transport slicing solution to CCVPN. And it becomes interesting because it allows CCVPN to integrate into another use case, which is the end-to-end network slicing use case. Combining these two use cases together, we are able to offer a complete network slicing solution. So this is, in the phase three, this is the first attempt that CCVPN started to support other use cases. So not only that CCVPN is an independent use case, it can offer service on its own, but it can also be used by other use cases to offer a even more extended scope of services. So this is the phase three, what we have developed in CCVPN. And then going to phase four, CCVPN started to keep itself up to date to the latest development of intent-based networking. And therefore, in phase four, we work together with the IBM use case in the ONAP to support the intent-based cloud list line use case, which implies that before CCVPN added its support for intent, the intent-based line use case did not have a southbound network configuration capabilities. Okay, so this is the brief history of CCVPN. So going beyond Istanbul, right, Jakarta release, we will continue to support the intent based cloud list line. So we still logically the development perspective, we are still in phase four of the CCVPN evolution, right? Any questions?
Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry. So,
right. So in the following,
oh, right. Sorry, okay. I had a quick question on that. So the in the phase four, the you're really extending. Is phase four building on top of this transport slicing part? And the slicing and intent, what's in yellow, are two different, completely different, unrelated aspects of CCVPN. Is that true, or are they related to each other? Wasn't clear.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, thanks again, right, for bringing up that question. Use case wise, the transport slicing and the intent supported cloudless line are in parallel, right? So use case wise, they are two distinct use cases. However, from the development perspective, a very common large portion of the code are commonly shared between these two use cases.
I see. Interesting.
So they share the same architecture, right? Same functionality code. For example, both of the use cases need the OTN tunnel, just for one example, right? To support the slicing and the cloudless line. So that piece of code is not developed or separate copy. We use the same code. Okay. And also another a point I like to highlight here is that the intent support for the cloudless line can be further evolved to add the intent support for slicing. So it is in the discussion that in the future releases, we can support intent-based network slicing, which implies that we need intent-based transport slicing. And to support that, we can reuse much of the code we developed here today, right? For the cloudless line, intent-based cloudless line. Right? Make sense?
So if I understand the row with the phase 1, 2, 3, 4, the CCVPN support for transport slicing, that's why there's the red up arrows going into the network slicing use case, is providing some foundation for transport CCVPN based support for network slicing. And then in phase 4, you also will incorporate some intent based operations into that. Is that right? Did I understand that right?
Right.
So the, for example,
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, that's there is a 2 second delay from network. That's why it's not in real time. Sorry about that.
Oh, I see.
I didn't say anything. I just said right.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I see. So I guess the other question I had was, it's not too clear to me the FAN plus OTN for cloud lease private line service. And again, there are other people I think that aren't here from transport backgrounds. Can you just roughly describe what that exactly that is in sort of basic terms?
Yeah. So, right. I will explain in more detail in the following slides, because this is just a highlight the history of each phases. But in the following slides, I will go through more details of the development of each phases, okay? Which includes the explanation of cloudless line. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the next page then. Yeah, please stop me if any questions. I apologize for the network speed. I think there's a delay of my speaking. Okay, so the next slides we organized as basically two main parts. First, we will explain the CCVPN based use case, but I'll go rather quickly because these are done very mature use cases and lots of concepts are already being communicated in the community multiple times. Okay. Then the second part of these next slides, I will explain more about the add-on use cases, mainly the transport slicing and intent cloud baseline. right? So in this page, this is a diagram describing a software-defined OTN service deployment. As we can see, this SOTN is a example of a typical service deployment on the ONAP, right? Step one is we discover the topology and populate it into an AI. And step two is to upload the service design template into SO and SDNC. And the third step is service provisioning from UI portal, right? All right. So what I like to highlight, right, in the previous picture, in the previous slides, is that the CCVPN follows the framework of ONAP in terms of deployment, and it is still true for new use cases that we developed on ONAP. This current page here, it's the E-line service over OTN. That is, as mentioned, that it is the first feature that we added, developed on OTN. Developed on CCVPN. As we see here, Ben, to answer your previous question, right? What multi-domain mean? In this picture, we have two domains. As we see, both domains are transport network. But they are managed, for example, by two operators, right? And then the CCVPN use case is to provide a end-to-end service, right? Which is highlighted by this blue line here that cross two domains, right? Okay. Going to the next page, it highlights the differences between phase one and phase two. As we see in phase one, there's only Ethernet models being developed on ONAP. In phase two, we developed the OTN model in addition to the Ethernet model. Although the use case wise, the functionality wise, right, it's still the same. But as mentioned in phase two, we exposed the OTN service model in ONAP such that the user, the consumer of ONAP, is able to consume the OTN service in addition to the previous Ethernet service.
When you say the, if you go back to the previous slide, when you say the Ethernet model or topology, is this like a, you know, when I think model, I think like classes and UML and Papyrus or Plant UML. Is that the model you mean, or is it like a service, the design time you're taking in the design studio, you're taking the elements together and plumbing them together, or
the first case.
Okay, so it's an actual like class and instance and model that is used to represent the Ethernet network that you're working with, and and then in the phase two in Frankfurt, that model still exists, but you're also adding on top of that an additions to be able to represent an OTN model, an OTN network. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, Ben, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's continue. All right. So for this slide, we are describing the overview of the two network slicing use case. As we see on this picture, transport slicing which is highlighted in orange color, is part of the network slicing use case. Okay, and if I go to the next slide, see in the circle here that basically encircled the transport slicing. It needs, in order to fit into the end-to-end network slicing picture, we need a few design requirements from the architecture perspective. First is that this transport slicing solution need to be what we call a X-haul agnostic, meaning that it can support front-haul, mid-haul, and back-haul transport slicing using a single solution rather than multiple solutions. Secondly, it needs to be what we call a consumer agnostic, meaning that the solution need to provide a unified northbound interface, which is this orange line showing on this picture, that can be consumed by any customer, right? So any mean in particular means that the transport slicing service can be consumed by NSMF, or it can be consumed by RAN, right? RAN NSSMF can also consume the transport slicing. So that is quite important design requirement for transport slicing. The next two requirements are that the transport slicing solution has to be self-contained and deployable. That is for more from a deployment perspective where this requirement comes from. It also has to be a federated solution. So it means that the current solution, right, uses IETF interfaces, but which cannot prevent we should not prevent solutions using other standards in the future to be plugged in to the network slicing use case. So in other words, we need a federated solution be able to support that federated solution from a design perspective. Okay, any questions? If not, I can.
Yeah, sorry, I had a quick question.
Next so slide.
So right. For the you know, as I understand it, the BSS objectives and SLA SLS gets translated via the GSMA NG116 GST Nest model. And I think that eventually comes down to the slice profiles and transport configurations and RAN configurations and core configurations that decompose the SLAs, SLSs through the GST Nest for slicing. And is that also part of this, basically, the transport network slice management function, service management function takes that those GST things and translates them via the NSMF into the transport configurations? Is that part of that architecture from NG .116?
It does not take the when you say the NG.1 116models in this orange line here, it is a model from IETF working group on transport slicing, which is basically a transport slicing definition model. In that model, there are SLA parameters defined in that model. So the consumer of transport slicing need to consume its services using its MBI model, right? So Ben, if I understand correctly, because I'm not very familiar with GNS models, but the caller to transport slicing need to convert other non-IETF models, for example, 3GPP, right, into the transport slicing northbound interface. Okay, although I would highlight that this transport slicing definition model is intent-like, and it's technology agnostic. So in other words, the consumer does not need to know any specific transport service dependent knowledge in order to derive those parameters that needed by the transport slicing manager here.
Thank you. Yeah, that basically answered my question.
Okay, so thank you. If no more further questions, let's move on to the next slide. This diagram highlights the design of the transport slicing on ONAP. In the left hand side of the picture, right, we highlighted that in the red box, the TNNS SMF, and in the right hand side, we expand the box into a detailed illustration of the design. As we can see that the components on ONAP that are involved in transport slicing are the SO, SDNC, and ANAI. They are the three main components involved in the solution. In the SO, it responsible for exposing the northbound interface, which is mentioned before, the transport slicing definition model, to its consumer. And the SO does not really do much of the detailed work. It is a orchestration layer, very thin orchestration layer, which delegates the detailed network specific configuration work to SDNC. So the SDNC is responsible for talking to the physical network controllers and configure the services on them, right, accordingly. And ANAI is a component that we store the models and the inventory, the network configuration and network inventory data. And in ANAI, we have two layers of transport slicing models. We have the transport slicing definition model, which I mentioned earlier, that it's technology agnostic, and it is used in the northbound interface of transport slicing. And there is a much more complex transport slicing implementation models. They are technology specific, and they are mainly IETF based models. So that's why, as I said, we need a federated solution so that interfaces and models from other non-IETF organizations can also be fit in the future into ONAP, right? Okay. Any questions about this picture? If not, we can move on to the next slide. Right. So this is the last slide I like to talk about for transport slicing. And this slide is an example of the call flow in end-to-end network slicing, which involves the transport slicing. And this call flow is a call flow on how a slice is allocated, right? And as we see, the operation is triggered by the user from UUI, and CSMF receives a user request and come up with the slice request or slice profile model and send the slice profile model to NSMF, right? So NSMF consult with the OF to see whether we already have a existing slice can reuse. But if not, then we need to create a new slice. And in that case, the NSMF will consult with each NSSMF, right, for a slice allocation on each domain, RAN, core, and the transport. So to again echo the discussion of the previous question, the NSMF, right, which uses a 3GPP models, need to decompose the network slice into RAN core and the transport sub slice. And when and in that step, the NSMF need to convert the parameters, transport parameters from 3GPP terms, right, into the IETF terms that offered by transport NSSMF as an MBI. All right. So this is how the call flow works today in G release for the allocate slice. Other operations are similar. Other operations such as activate, deactivate operations are similar to this call flow. Any questions?
So if I understand this correctly, from my understanding of network slicing, basically the service profile, you know, has things that indicate the sorts of things you want in a slice. And the NSSI, which is a generic collection of objects, will have a top level ID. and then you'll have allocated sets of objects in RAN and core and transport. That's where you allocate the NSSI. So I think in the transport NSSMF, I think you're allocating a set of core or transport resources, I think. And then that's coming back with a set of allocated objects that get incorporated into this top level NSSI ID. And part of the slice profile, there's three things that identify a slice, right? The PLMN ID and the SNSSAI, which is composed of the SST and SD. And so those three things basically uniquely identify an actual end-to-end network slice. But the end-to-end network slice has associated with it a slice profile that's attached to that the NSSI, right? The group of the MOI, the managed object instance of a group of objects. That gives this generic group of objects a purpose, and that purpose is defined by the slice profile, and the slice profile has within it the SNSSAI and the PLMN ID, which again identify the slice. So I think if I understand this flow correctly, I believe, or my interpretation is that basically the NSSI is going to be a collection of RAN things, core things, and transport things. And that third arrow down there is that sort of negotiation with what transport things are going to be relevant to. And then, of course, once you know that, you'll know the endpoints defined in the various 26 endpoints that are defined. to connect those things. Is that right? So you're understanding
right,
also?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. Yes. Yes. That's right. And just like to highlight one thing is that the 3GPP, right, defines the interface for, not the interface, actually, models for RAN and SSI, core and SSI. However, 3GPP does not define the model for TN and SSI, although it specifies the requirement for TN and SSI. And that is the reason why we chose the IETF model, because IETF has a working group, right, to define the model for TN and SSI. And as a result, right, the consumer, which is NSMF, need to consume TN model, okay, exposed, right, by the transport NSSMF. Any further questions?
NSSMF. Yeah, I have one question. So this CSMF, NSFF, and this NSFF model adapters are these models in ONAP, or how it is? I mean, it is all part of SO itself, or it's individual models? How this
right.
code wise, if I want to go?
Right. The SO operates on these models, right? This TN and SSI model, they operates on that. The model schema is defined in ANAI. So we had a review with the modeling team and define how the model works. I need to highlight that although these models are based on IETF, but they are not directly IETF models. As we know, IETF models are young models. On ONAP, we have our own modeling subcommittee. So we have our own model schema. These models that we use on ANAI are ONAP models, although they are based on the structure, right? The structure are based on the IETF. Okay.
Okay. Thank
you. Is there also an interaction or interaction with the configuration persistence data team, the CPS service, CPS team as well, that stores, service level information, the
database? Yeah, not yet.
Okay. Is there
right.
going to?
Right. Ben. That's what I was going to ask next to the community. We preferly to use CPS in the next phase, right? Or the future phases of the CCVPN evolution. As we see, there are two reasons for it. One is that we use, as we said, IETF models. But if we use ANAI, we need to convert IETF models into ANAI schema. If we use CPS, we can eliminate this overhead, right? And second reason is that ANAI is supposed to be an inventory model, repository. However, lots of our models currently in ANAI are used by CCVPN are not inventory. They are network configurations. So they better fit into CPS.
Yes.
Right. So that said, Ben, I agree with you, right? We need in the future evolution of CCVPN to use CPS more and more. But my question though is that do we have the same interface as we shown in this picture to A and AI as to CPS today? So if we, you know, draw CPS here, right, and draw these two blue lines and redirect them to CPS today, would that be feasible?
Yeah, so basically you have similar lines to CPS where you in design time you're defining models, and then in runtime you can store models that you would like to and traverse and access. So and also in design time, you can define very flexibly the sorts of things you need to store as well. And it also has management systems where, you know, the particular services that own that particular data are managed. So I think you can basically draw those two lines definitely to CPS, CPS was specifically designed to store non-inventory information. That's its purpose, so that it doesn't overlap with ANAI. I can put you in touch with the CPS team too. They meet every Friday to discuss, you know, how to evolve maybe in the next release from what you CCVPN's use case is now. Yeah.
Right. Okay, perfect. Yeah, perfect, Ben. It would be our next goal, right? After Jakarta, right? To go into that route, right? Okay. Great. Any further questions? Okay, let's move on to intent. Okay, so I think I need to speed up. sorry about that, my time management. So this is a topic, okay, about intent. So starting in the Istanbul release, right, CCVPN started to work with the IBN use case, provide IBN the southbound configurations to configure the intent onto physical network. So this is the motivation, right, or the background behind the IBN development on CCVPN. And how we like to achieve that, this picture is trying to explain that. So IBN, as we see in this picture, is a consumer of CCVPN intent support service. And in this dotted box the CCVPN involves a few microservices on the ONAP. The green boxes are the microservices that involved in service creation. So it involved in intent fulfillment. The blue boxes, DCAE and the policy, are involved in the closed loop, right, together with SO and SDNC. So in other words, what we add into CCVPN in Istanbul, which is quite important to IBN, is a closed loop functionality. And that is important for intent assurance, right? The yellow boxes are the data stores. As we see, we put a CPS here, but we have not yet make use of it yet, right? Okay, that's our plan to use the CPS in the future. That's why it's being put here in the picture. Any questions on this picture? No? Okay. This picture, Ben, answers your previous question, what is cloudless line is about? The cloudless line is not a new use case. It's been there for a while, but it's mainly a solutions from IP and network companies, network equipment companies, which is to connect the enterprise or campus network to the cloud, right? So to the cloud. And but what's new on that is that we use, first we support intent for the cloudless line use case. Secondly, we use a transport solution, mainly the OTN network to support a cloud cloudless line. And another highlight in this picture is that the service that enables the cloudless line is not the previously developed point-to-point e-line service. It is rather an e-tree service. So it is a point-to-multipoint service, okay, in order to support the cloud access, right? Is there any questions? No? Okay, we can move on to the next one. This is the last picture, the future roadmap of CCVPN. CCVPN, in our understanding, is all about closed loop automation for a fully automated transport network solution. So CCVPN is all about how create a network automation on transport networks. To achieve that, there are a few phases we need to go through, and you know each phase involves its own topics of the problems, okay, or the challenges. We are currently working on phase one, okay. This is service provisioning and activation phase, right? We try to automate that. The next phase would be phase two, which is the planning phase. That we trying to work out some design proposals, but it's still in the study phase right now. Okay, and phase three is I would say is also challenge, equally challenge if not more. Okay, challenge, which is to study the network assurance that involves for example, a intelligent analysis of telemetry data and preemptively take the network closed loop actions before the fault takes place. So that's the phase three, right? And phase four is to automatically feedback to the network plan planning to increase or decrease the network resources allocation in the planning phase depending according to the intelligent analysis that being carried out in phase three. Okay, that's my last page. Any questions?
So if I just understand, I think what I just heard is the green boxes kind of show where you're doing a lot of planning of the network, and the blue areas are where you're doing sort of lifecycle management stuff of looking at the performance and operation and updating of the network. And then the yellowish boxes on the right are that part of the network that during runtime you're analyzing to see how you can optimize and keep the network running perfectly and changing, feeding back to the deployment parts if something needs to be added or updated. Is that right? Did I understand right?
Right. Right, Ben. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Did anybody else have any final thoughts or questions from Henry? Okay, if not, thank you, Henry, so much. This is a really excellent presentation. I thought it was very useful. And maybe next year we'll arrange for an interaction meeting between between CPS and CCVPN. I wrote down while you were talking. So probably later in the year, into the next release, when you're starting to think about usage of CPS, I think that would be useful. Later in the year, and I'll get in touch with you, Henry, on that. Does that sound reasonable?
Okay.
Yeah, probably later in the year. Okay, thank you.
Yes, yeah. Ben, yes. That sounds good.
Yeah, okay. Then thank you everybody for joining, and I hope you found it useful. And Henry, I'll work with you to upload the slides, or you can just go to this link and upload the slides yourself. And I'll upload the recording to here and the into this today's meeting page. All right. So we'll call the meeting here then. Thank you everybody for joining, and have a great day. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks everyone.
Thanks. Bye.